bless you in the name of the Lord. Shall we all stand as you approach the Lord in prayer this morning? I just got a message from Sister Shanez, the one from Iraq, and she says she really needs prayer for her daughter. So she says the evil spirit has taken her. It's a very urgent situation, so we want to pray for that this morning. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, you are all sufficient for us. And Lord Jesus, Lord, the devil tries to scare us and put all types of tactics against us, O Lord. And Lord, he's working on the mind. And Lord Jesus, we ask that you would just move just now on behalf of our sister, O Lord. She says she knows that you're greater than the doctors and that you can do more for her than any of them. And so she's believing, O Father. May you honor that faith just now, this morning. May you take care of the situation, O Father. Lord, she doesn't seem in her right mind, O Father. But Lord Jesus, her mother believes, O Father. And so we ask that you would just turn the situation just now, O Father. So we're praying together, we're believing together. And Lord Jesus, take control of this Sunday school lesson that we have this morning. And Lord, just open the words of life to us, O Lord, that we may be able to see you more clearly. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's turn, if we would, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, starting with verse 6. Then we'll be reading a few more scriptures after that. First Peter chapter 5, starting with verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Amen. Lord, add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. Amen. So we're just continue on the series of warfare, and I just felt led to read those verses 6 and 7 as well, because of the need for us, as far as our approach to the Lord, to be humble in all things. And humbleness is very important in a Christian and just in life in general, as we know, because that gives us the ability to be able to see who we are in relation to others and the world around us. That we don't know everything, and that we have a lot of learning to do ourselves, and that we are ready to take correction, ready to learn. So I believe you can learn a lot if you're humble, you know. And the scripture talks about in Proverbs that you know, it's the wise will learn instruction and listen to instruction, and so you're wise if you do that. You know, it's very foolish if somebody's trying to give you instruction yet you don't listen to it, because it can help you. Many times, you know, people that they're trying to help us and they have the right heart, but we in our stubbornness or think we know or pride or whatever, we're not able to take that correction, and it causes us a problem, right? And later on, it could end up in destruction. So, but humbleness, no matter who it is, who's telling you, to be open to that, you know, to be open to receiving that. So just felt to read that. And then casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you, because that's really showing the love of God that he has in his heart for us, and because he does care, you know. Even though sometimes the word is difficult for us to swallow, or the correction, or what have you, but he cares about us. He wants the best for us. And so I would say that as Christians, that we have the same heart towards other people. We want the best for them. We care for them. They don't really receive it that way many times. And, you know, sometimes our children, they have a barrier, they have a wall, but we want to help them, and it just breaks our heart because we're trying to help them, but they're refusing that. And but he cared the most, you know, about us. And so I just felt in the heart to just plant that seed there. But as we're moving on, we're talking about warfare, and we're fighting a very formidable adversary, the devil. And so we've got to be able to know what he's stated in his word in how to fight this enemy. And he's given us instructions to be able to do it. But we have to be humble and ready to listen. And, you know, there's many people that sometimes say that I know enough about the message. I know the major doctrines. I know, you know, what the Bible said. I read it a few times and different things. But, you know, that's just scratching the surface. And, you know, we don't know things as we ought to know. And so there's a warfare to fight, but we've got to be able to dig in and find out what God is saying and telling us. And the more you read the Word of God, the more you listen to the Word of God, the more you realize you don't know if you take it seriously. And so that you dig in and you're, so he requires us to dig in, you know. He's not going to hand things to us on a silver platter. He wants us to be diligent, and he's testing us, right? That's what he did with the Israelites in the wilderness. Why did they go through those difficult times? It's because he wanted to prove what was in their hearts. Because if he made everything very easy, then everybody would just go in. But he wanted to see who truly wanted to follow him in their heart. And so right now is a proving and testing time. God is proving each one of us, you know, what's really in our heart. And so this is what is going on right now. That's why we have a formidable adversary that's working upon us and testing us, taking us to our limits. How many have felt that you've gone to your limits before as just being tested? You know, maybe more so in this day than ever before. I feel that way. The most crucial or tough testing has been in recent years, me personally, and I could venture to say the same for you. So we're going through this battle, and as Brother Mike has preached many times, the scripture that he will not give us more than we can bear. So it will be hot, it will be tough, it will be difficult. We will face adversary, we will face people that we thought were good Christians, and they will be difficult for us, right? I mean, but that's scriptural. I mean, Job, his wife, she tried to push Job the other way. I mean, somebody close to him, and no doubt she was a believer, she was a worshiper, but she said, why don't you just curse God and die? So the testing comes, you know, it can come from within. It can come from brothers and sisters. It can come from family members and different things. But God is doing it for a purpose, to bring out that character, that quality in us, and see where we may be short, and so that we realize that and then know and humble us so that we can grow. Or we pass that test and then we move forward to the next test, and then God is constantly building our faith as we're growing. So he says, he's a formidable adversary. He's like a lion seeking whom he may devour. But he gives us this commandment to resist him, right? The scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee. Now, that's a simple scripture, but if we just follow and believe and have confidence in his word, it will work out every time. And so if we take that, when we run into difficulties, we run into the adversary and we resist, you know, and, you know, we push, then he's going to go away. But if we give in, then, you know, it's going to consume us. And we'll talk about that by God's grace in a little bit here. But he says here, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Now, I want to settle on that scripture just a little bit because he's relating to suffering. And then he's talking about perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle. So in order for us to be settled and strengthened and established, we must go through the fire. There's no way around it. We must go through the fire. But through that, we gain faith, patience, and character. And so because it's removing those things that were not needful for us, you know, you can't just receive, or you can't just change by just receiving revelation. You have to go through experience. And those experiences shape and mold you because of the pain that you go through. The pain makes you remember what you went through and what you learned from that. Because if it was easy, then you would not remember it. But because it was so painful, then it just becomes a part of you and gets instilled in your memory, gets instilled in your heart, it gets instilled in your psyche. Because, you know, when something comes up that makes you remember that, you go back to that and it's remembering everything again. But it's a reminder. You know, as Paul talked about that, you know, my strength, or I am perfect, or his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And so remember that Paul was a man that he had abundance of revelations, and God showed him so many different things, but God had to keep him humble. And so he did that by letting him have, it says, a thorn in the flesh, something to buffet him, to beat on him. And so, you know, many times we go through a trial and then, you know, we're done, and then another one comes and you're like, oh God, I just went through one, right? But Paul went through that continually. It was buffeting him. But he says it was to keep him humble because lest I should be exalted above measure. That means to be lifted up with pride. So God knew that. So, but he says perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So related to this message, when we go into it more and more, the greatest battle ever fought, that, you know, what inspired Brother Branham for this message is he was in Arizona and he saw the stars. And then it made him, it gave him a revelation that that was God's great army that he's trying to establish here on earth. And so what I'm trying to say is that he said that everything that he saw in the stars, they were perfect. They were in their position. And they were standing there, and everything was in perfect harmony. And so God is trying to create the same thing in you and I. And so he wants us to be settled, established in our position. You know, as Brother Branham talks about, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He says, when the bride recognizes who she is, then the rapture will go. So God is trying to establish us in our position to recognize who exactly we are. And so when he says perfect, he's saying, and I, you know, I go through the Greek a little bit for to better understand, and Brother Marcel helped me to do this a little bit more and be motivated to it, because, you know, try to get more of the meaning of these words, you know, and what exactly. And so there's a word, and I can't even pronounce it, but there's a Greek word, and it means to complete, to restore, put in order, to make complete, equip, train, to prepare, ordain. And so that's what God is trying to do to us, bring us into our position, train and equip us, and make us whole and ready for battle, amen, ready for whatever takes place. Amen. And so these trials and tests are to make us and establish our faith and make us, put us in our position. And he says, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And we understand what those words mean. And, you know, I just throw these other, he says, to knit together, unite completely, to qualify fully, to complete in character, amen. To restore, to have, or to reinstate. He says to strengthen, establish, stand firm, right? To set fast, amen. In a certain position or direction. Amen. To settle, confirm, strengthen, stand, immovable. The last one he says is to found, lay the foundation, establish, render firm and unwavering, make steadfast. And so when he goes through this message is all about faith, amen. In his word. And trying to get all the chaff out and the distractions that devil is trying to put on you and to stand firm. And so he's giving us the secret of how to stand firm into rejecting the wiles of the devil that he's going to constantly put on you. But it's very simple, but he says to stay steadfast in believing and having faith in the word of God. And do not put anything into it that is from the outside or outside the word of God. Now, I think I'm just for time's sake, he goes into some other scriptures here as he talks about in Ephesians chapter 6 about putting on the whole armor of God. And he says that we will be able to stand. There it is again, to stand. Amen. He says the word at least three times in this scripture, to stand. Amen. Because he doesn't want us to fall. He wants us to be able to face the enemy. And the enemy will fall down, not us. The enemy will fall down. So you go back to Joshua chapter 1 that God gave Joshua a charge that he would stand before the enemy. And no man shall be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And so we know that we're fighting the devil, but we're actually fighting the devil through man. Because the devil is using men, right? Now we love the soul of a person and we're after that soul. But they can be so clouded by a spirit that it takes them over control that they're the devil incarnate or in flesh. And they're actually operating in the same way that we see the scripture as Lucifer did or Satan or any other person. You know, you go back to the scriptures, you look to Nehemiah, you look to Ezra, and there were people that were against God's people. There were people against the will of God. There were people against establishing that word. So you know in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, what represented the word back then? It was establishment of worship. It was establishment of the temple. It was establishment of the structure that surrounded the temple, right? And so as somebody got an inspiration to build something, they felt the inspiration to build the temple. They felt the inspiration to set up the worship again because, you know, it was all depleted because of what happened in Babylon and how the Israelites were taking captivity, but God restored. And so that's the Spirit of God is, even though there seems to be all is lost and seems like the devil has won, that God will restore. Amen. And so we know that he did that with the church ages, that, you know, the Roman Catholic Church took control, but then God was raising up a church again. Amen. And he would establish it into the same image that it was in the Garden of Eden. Actually, more than that, because he gave the commission to multiply and replenish the earth. And so he would do that by the spoken word of God, by a born again, by the Spirit of God, that people would raise up, you and I. But they were trying to establish that word through the walls and different things, but they had adversaries. You know, Sanballat, Tobiah, they wanted to put fear in their hearts. And they were using deception to bring down the people of God to get them to stop the work. And so that's what the devil's trying to do is prevent you from producing that word.
Amen. That's right.
He's going to try to inject things to you so that you become unfruitful. You know, as I think Brother Marcel mentioned it one time on a Wednesday, but he was talking about the seeds, how they're planted. And some fell on the wayside in different places. Some still fell on stony ground. Some fell among thorns, right? And so the ones... most of them, there was plants that came up. And he talks about them with joy they stood up, right? And so many of us, when we hear the word of God, when we first heard it, we stood up with joy. But then what happened later? You know, the Israelites, with joy, they crossed the Red Sea, and they were celebrating. But what happened later? So stay steadfast in the faith.
Amen.
And so they sprung up. But what began to choke and make them unfruitful? It was the thorns, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and different things. They came and they could not produce fruit, right? But the true bride of Christ will produce that fruit.
Amen.
Just as it was in the beginning.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And so that's what the devil is trying to do through the ages, is to weaken the bride of Christ, weaken the people of God. You know that scripture in Isaiah, if we can turn to that, I think it's Isaiah chapter 14, talking about Lucifer. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground that which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And so it says here that he was to weaken the nations in verse 12, which just weakened the nations. And that's what he's trying to do, is to weaken your walk. He's trying to prevent you from producing that word, and he's trying to inject different things into
Amen.
You.
Amen.
And he's working on the mind, as we'll talk about here, because that is where the battleground takes place. And so if you can somehow reject the thought in your mind, then you will have the victory. It's when you bring that thought into, then the enemy will take over, as we'll talk about in a little bit. But you see, Lucifer, he got out of his position. I want to read here, if I can. He says where he stood. He said, see, Satan was the original archangel of God. So that was a leading angel. He was the original archangel of God. He once dwelt in the heaven. He once was the greatest person in the heavens outside of God. He was God's right-hand man to fellowship. And he got puffed up in his heart. You see, God wants us to stay in our position. And that's part of the humbleness, is that we wait upon the Lord.
Amen.
You know, many of us are in a hurry that we want to take some type of position and move in a certain direction, but we've got to wait upon the calling of God.
Amen.
And so remember that Moses, he was getting ahead of God. You know, he went and he tried to do things and he wanted to do it on his own. And so then God had to bring him to a position where he was ready to receive him. He had to humble him. He had to take all these things out of him. And then he had to be in a position where he was just waiting. And he wasn't even looking anymore. He wasn't really thinking about going back to Egypt again. And then that's when God called him. Because he was ready for the master's use. He was fully malleable. He was fully beaten down. And then that's when God called him. And that's who God can use. But you see that Lucifer, he wanted to do this. He was already in a good position, but he wanted more. And so that's when he got out, and that's when the trouble started. So he says here, the whole program of God is upset when one member gets out of order. We should continually to strive to keep the order of the Spirit. And I would to God this morning that we would bring this to a real healing service, that we could keep this part group that we have gathered under the roof this morning. And he emphasizes in such a harmony that the Holy Spirit would place every member of the body that's here this morning in such harmony till there would be such a spontaneous healing of soul and body if we'll just hold our position. Now, the God that caused a fluttering noise to come into that clinic when he healed that lady there, He says, and took the cancer without even leaving a scar. He says, don't you know that same God is here? And the only thing that he is waiting for is for his army to get their position, amen, like the stars get the position. Yes. So now he says, but do you realize there's only two powers in the universe? And so we know that there's the power of God and the power of Satan, and it's either controlled by God's power or Satan's power. Power of life and the power of death. And so we know that the two spirits are so close that it would deceive even the elect if it was possible. So they look exactly the same. But there's a difference between one is bringing death, one is bringing life. But they look almost exactly the same. And so we've got to keep that in mind, that it's because of the spirit that's behind it. But they may look exactly the same, but there's a difference in the spirit. There's a difference in the heart. There's a difference in the motive. There's a difference in the objective. And that is the difference. Because this side over here knows this word to the T. And as Brother Mike was preaching, he said, knows it better than you. But you see, doesn't have the full revelation of the depths in the heart of God. And so, obviously, Christ, you know, was the expression of God's heart. And so we, having the Holy Ghost inside of us, can therefore also receive that revelation and express that heart of God as well. That's a difference between the carnal that looks almost the same and the true believer. So he says here, he said the devil's power, you know, it's a power of death, and there's Satan can only, his power he's got is a perverted power of God. It's no real power. It's a perversion of God's power, yet it is powerful. Death is only a perverted life. A lie is only the truth mistold. Adultery is an act misused, a righteous act misused. Everything that Satan has got is something that was perverted, but it's a power. One or the other power is going to control us. So you can't say I'm in between. No, you're controlled by one or the other. And so if you're not following the word of God and under the spirit of God, then you're being used by the devil. It may seem right, it may look right, but behind it, it's got the spirit and power of death. You know, these things that people do in technology, and the development, it seems like it's good, and it can help people, but it brings death. You see, it has a facade that it brings help and a benefit to the people, but behind it, the results of it is death. And so when we take the Word of God out of context, out of the way that the intended author, out of the Spirit of God, it will bring forth death. So he says, one or the other power is going to control us. So let's cast out the evil one. Let's take our position like the stars of the heaven. And so God has commanded us to cast out the evil one. So he was cast out of heaven, right? And so he was cast out of the Garden of Eden. And so, but on this earth, God has charged us to cast out that evil one. Cast him out of your mind. He says, casting down imaginations. And every high thought that exalted itself above the intelligence or the mind of God. And so, you know, when Jesus was on this earth, he cast out the devils. Amen. How did he cast it out? By his word. Amen. Because the word of God is sharp, quick, powerful. Amen. More than a two-edged sword, piercing divider of the soul and spirit. Amen. Amen. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it will discern what your intentions are. What's your motive? What's your objective? You see, without the Bible, without the Word of God, you will be deceived. Because he will look the same. He will present himself the same. He will act nice. He will say, God bless you. Or she will say that. They will carry a message book or a Bible and different things. And so they look exactly the same. But what's behind that spirit? What's the motive? What's projected? Now, I want to get to a point here, and I think we'll have to finish here. You see, Brother Branham is talking about war that was in heaven and war that was on the earth. He says, we don't want to be wandering stars, you know. We want to be in our position, he says. Stay like those stars of the heavens as a real soldier at his post of duty. Stand there, believing. And we know in Ephesians, he talks about stand. When you're fighting the enemy, stand. He says here, a nation makes ready to go against another nation. It should first sit down and figure what's right and wrong, and whether they're able to go against the next nation or not. Jesus taught that. And if people would do that, if the nations would sit down and stop and think those things, both sides, we would have no more war. Because I believe many of them wouldn't realize that, why are we fighting this? This is not right. This is not for a good objective. So he's saying if they would sit down and think about those things, if it was right or wrong, and if they had enough power to do this. He says, if the military heads of the nations doesn't sit down first and figure, see that they're right and their motives and objectives right, and if they have enough strength and power to overcome the next army, they're sure to lose. And so he goes on to the story about General Custer. How many knows about General Custer, the story of, so did he win or did he lose? He lost, right? And he takes this whole lesson that he has about doing things for the right reasons, for the right objectives, for the right motives, and then counting the cost. And so General Custer was a military guy, and we know that, you know, back then in the 1800s, they had a separation. They were pushing the Native Americans out. They went from the east and pushing them to the west. And so General Custer, he got drunk one time, and then he says, there was something that was going on. He felt that he needed to go into battle with these Indians, but it was a time of worship. You know, he was given orders not to fight these Indians because they were in a time of worship, not to disturb them. And they've already been pushed out this way. Do not do this. Well, he took it upon himself to go ahead and do it anyhow. So right there, he crossed the line. And so when you cross that line, God is not obligated to be behind you. Just like when Eve stepped across that line, then God was not obligated to protect Eve. God was not obligated to protect them when they broke that word of God, when they did what they were not supposed to do. And so we got to think about those things as well as our individual life. So we have the word of God. And God's given it to us. He's given us the message of the hour. So is he going to just hand it to us on a silver plate? Or do we dig in and we try to understand what God has told us? And so many of us claim ignorance many times and say, like, well, I didn't know. You know, God knows our hearts. And so he knows what's really, if we're really truly seeking after him or not. And so, you know, many times, sometimes we do it in ignorance, but there's sometimes that we do it and we act like we didn't know about it, but we do it anyhow. And for that, God is not obligated to bless you. In fact, if you continue in that, God will send you to hell. I'm just going to be very blunt with it, because the scriptures are replete with that. They did not go on to accept the whole word of God, but they wanted their own caveats in the word of God. Then God sent them to destruction.
Amen.
The example is Judas. He followed the word of God in such a way, but there was one thing that he just could not do. He could not go on. And for that, he was destroyed. Shall I go with more? There were others. You know, those that did not, in the wilderness, they did not want to go fully and obey God's word and take him at his word. They perish in the wilderness. And God speaks of it through the book of Hebrews. I'm just warning you. Because there are those who know this message and know this word of God. I don't know why I'm going into this, but this message in the word of God, and you have much bigger responsibility.
Amen.
The Bible says much more is required to much who has been given.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So you may know more than the person at the Baptist church, but God is looking at their heart. And he's looking at it. They are doing all the best that they know how to do with what they were given. But you, being raised up in the message, or what have you, and you have all these blessings, and you have all these teachings, and the pastors and teachers and everybody to help you, and then reject it, God help the soul. So he crossed over. He didn't sit down, Custer we're talking about, and think first. They had a treaty, but he broke the treaty. And when he broke the treaty, then he lost the battle. And so we have got to be standing firmly on the word of God. And when we're standing on that, there's no enemy that's going to defeat us. So he talks about being dressed for fighting, trained for fighting. God has been selecting his soldiers, dressing them and training them. Now, when we're talking about motives and objectives, I just want to break away just for a few moments here in this message that God had explained. How many has listened to that message that God had explained or read it? So you've heard the story about how there was a trap for Brother Branham laid out about baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Godhead and different thing by the Chicago Ministerial Association. So there were about 400 or so ministers that were waiting for him to challenge him on that, right? And so, you know, Brother Branham, he doesn't have any ability. He's got seventh grade education. He's from a low income family. He didn't have a lot growing up. But one thing he did had, he had God. And so God, you know, because of how he had yielded himself to God, God showed him these things, showed him that there was a trap set for him, and showed him everything that would take place. And so when he had a dinner before the meeting, he said, "This, why are you going to do this? Here's all the things that are going to happen." It took the wind out of their sail. And now it's a point where now they're going to be ready to listen. So I think one of the ministers that got the wind out of his sail, he said, you know, something like, "You better listen to this man, what he has to say." And so he was talking, and you know how the devil can get in between brothers. And, you know, that was what was happening, because they had differences in doctrine and different things. And so baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, we're going to have differences between brothers and sisters because we just see things a little bit differently, right? But you see, God wants us to let the love of God move so that it can resolve those differences. Amen. You see, it's when we say, "I am right," that's when we have a problem, right? Because then it drives a wall, and then that drives separation, and it drives difficulty. And so, but if we just sit back and say, "Okay, we have a difference, brother, but I still love you. We love each other." God will open up the thing and then bring everything back into harmony. And so Brother Rand was trying to bring this because they were having contentions about this doctrine. You know, you have the Assemblies of God, you have the Four Square, you have different ones, and he's bringing different brothers' names into it. And he makes a few statements. He says, "Now I just took this stand only, leaving sharp edges, and then took a stand that I will not take stands on either side of that fussing." Because they wanted him to pull on their side. This one wanted to pull him on this side. Until we can see we are brothers and come together. And then we'll all see that same direct point there that we're coming to, the motive and objective of doing so. And you must test your motive and objective first. First, find the will of God. The will of God is in his word. And sometimes, and I'm not going to go into it too much, but Brother Rand was asked a question, and he talks about prayer being a part of finding the will of God and being neutral to the direction and yielding to whatever direction God is leaning. And then find your objective and then test your motive. See if your motive is right. Then as Jesus said in Mark 11:24, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart. But as long as you got doubt in the heart, whether it's the will of God or your motive or objective is wrong, how is it going to move? So now he's showing us how to have faith and to see God move. You've got to have these things aligned. Will of God, motive, objective, they've all got to be lined up. Then stand back and watch God move.
Right.
But when you know, okay, that's all. Now he goes in and he says, he talks about the fussing that's going on. And he says, and now I said to Brother Schism and Brother Ness, to answer your question, I said, now I do not take either side with you, brethren. And I know as long as you fuss, you are both wrong. Amen. See, because I would rather be wrong in my doctrine and right in my heart than to be right in my doctrine and wrong in my heart. See, I said, after all, it's your heart's condition.
Yes.
So you know how people, they can be like lawyers. Well, you didn't say that exactly right. Or you said this, didn't you? See, they're going on that side right there to be right in their doctrine. But their heart's not right. You see, love covers a multitude of sins.
Glory. Hallelujah.
And we all make mistakes. And maybe we didn't say it exactly right. But see, that's the spirit of the evil one. That's that carnal mindset to point out the fault. Well, you said it this way, but what is a heart? Amen. Was there a heart to do right or was it to do wrong?
Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Now, I made that a practice to know this, that if a man, no matter what he does and how much he differs, and what he says about me, if in my heart, not just from a duty, yes. Don't just do it just because you're supposed to do it, but from my heart, I can't love that man as well as I love anyone else, then I know there's something wrong in here. See, that's right, because no matter. And so he goes on to a story, and I don't have time for this, but he says, a brother was railing on him, and he said, you know, I forgive you for calling me a devil because I know you didn't mean it. And then when he got finished, he come up, he said, there's one thing I can say. You have the Spirit of Christ. I said, now, brother, which am I, a devil or of Christ? See? But I tell you, see, because that a man, he could tell that I loved him, no matter he was disagreeing and horribly disagreeing and lambasting. He said, you got to have it, though.
Amen.
People can see if you don't have it. He said, animals can see. He says, you can't bluff it. They would know. The animals would know. They'll stomp you if they can tell you fear them. That's the way it is among men. You've got to love men. You can't just bluff it. You've got to have it, or your colors will show somewhere. See, that's the intent of the heart. That's the motive. That's the objective. That's right. You really got to love people, and they know you love them. See, there's something about it.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand.
Glory to God. Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, help us to just embody your spirit, oh Lord, and your heart, oh Father, and the intent that you had for us, dear Lord. And Lord Jesus, I can't say anything else, oh Lord, but help us. Lord Jesus, we love you. Just continue to strengthen us, oh Lord, each and every one, oh Lord, as we press towards the mark of the high calling of God. We ask all this. And please bless the service, O Lord, and continue on with the word of the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.